Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Let's be in prayer together. Holy One, as we open this word, we pray that our hearts might be opened, our minds might be enlivened, and that we might find a way to live a measure of your light in Jesus. Amen. Every once in a while, someone comes up after I've preached in a particular service, usually at the door or out in the coffee hour, and they tell me that they felt as though I'd been talking only to them. Let me share a preacher secret. On most Sundays, I'm actually talking to myself, publicly, hoping, maybe even praying, that other people are struggling or thinking about the same things I am. For example, if I preach about worry, and I'm a big worry wart, it's because I worry all the time and I forget about the lilies of the field. If I preach about fear, it's because I'm often afraid, too afraid to remember the 1,000 times that the angel shouted, "Fear not." When I stress the importance of positive attitude, it's because I need to remind myself about how negativity can sap our strength and warp the way we look at this wonderful world. If I preach about faith, it's because I really could use a little more. And the ways I avoid hearing Jesus tell me that my mustard seed-sized bit of faith is more than enough. When I preach about Jesus, it's to remind me that even when I have trouble loving myself, Jesus loves me anyway. So if over the next few months that we spend here with you in Fort Collins, you ever feel I'm speaking directly to you, I thank you for that. I'm deeply honored that you might think that. Life is a journey, and we're all on it. I wanted to begin with that statement this morning because I'm going to attempt to answer a question with which I'm struggling, maybe in recent weeks more than before. How do you deal with difficult people? How do you put up with those tough nut personalities who grind your gears, who drive your political or moral sensibilities into conundrum mode? It's tough work. Some of you are smiling now. We all have those people in our lives, don't we? Sometimes in our family. Some of them, we work with them. Some of them live next door. Some of them maybe on the other side of the world. Some of them public figures. You might think you know who I'm talking about. Could be it's the one sitting next to you this morning, or the person filling your own shoes. Now, you already know Jesus wants you to love him. You've heard that before, I think, probably from this pulpit many times. You already know that, and chances are you have already said the same thing that I've caught myself saying. Yeah, Jesus, I know I'm supposed to love them, but do I really have to like them? I'll love them in that Jesus sort of way, you know, with a smile that's pasted on, but I'm not gonna like them. So, question, how do we deal with difficult people? Several years ago, I had minor surgery, and for a person who has trouble sitting still, the doctor told me I had to sit still for an entire week. And so to pass the time, I channel surfed. And for some reason, I decided I'd play a little game with myself and ask the question, what measure of human relation dynamic is being portrayed in a given television program? I had a mini seminar on the various ways to deal with difficult people. What do you suppose I discovered? I learned that you can deal with difficult people by taking out a contract on them. Hiring a hit person? I called it a hitman at the first service, and somebody reminded me, be inclusive. you can use the dark arts, you know, magic, voodoo, pins, dolls. Another possibility to escape the difficult, self-medication, a good stiff drink or some pills. Self-medicate those difficult ones right out of your lives. If you've got a problem, just get a bigger bottle or a different prescription. If you end up being addicted, you can live in a haze that a difficult person won't be able to penetrate. I saw several programs where difficult people actually got into cages and beat on one another. I guess the theory being if you could make someone else hurt as much as you were hurting, you'd feel better. Then I watched a few of those court TV programs. We used to live down in Naples, Florida, where Judge Judy had her winter home, and we actually could see her once in a while in the grocery store. So you watch Judge Judy, a difficult person gets sued. Judge Judy lectures them on not being difficult anymore. I saw one talk show where a group of difficult people got together. Some of them were related, swore at one another, and chased one another around on the stage. The theory being that if you get physical, you can get revenge against the difficult. I then spent some time, and I hate to confess this in public, watching the gold standard of the difficult, the soap operas, learning that I could shop my way to happiness or find joy in getting my friends to gang up on your friends, and we would build walls of gossip against one another, whether it was true or not. And, you know, I'm joking about this. Some of you have been laughing. And since I have been serving progressive churches for quite a number of years, I know that in this congregation, none of you know anything about that because we all watch public television, don't we? We don't watch that stuff. That's other people. Except for the fact that in ways not as public and usually a great deal more polite and civil, I have camped in most of those compounds overtly or covertly without much compassion, and maybe so have you. I have never hired a hit person, but I have caught myself hating. I've never filed a suit or gone into a cage with a club, but I have found myself wishing that another child of God would disappear. Do I recall that Jesus said once that to hate in the heart was exactly the same as killing with the hand? Now and again, I've shared a tasty bit of gossip. More than once, I've been complicit in some activity that shows up sides, and I've tried my level best to make my side look better than those people. Do you recall that Jesus said once that a word spoken in anger was the same as the dirty deed? And I have found secret delight in the pain of another, and I have medicated my own pain. Those are some of the places I've been, and I suspect that maybe more than a few of you have been there with me. Those are all ways of dealing with difficult people. But then, is that how Jesus would want us to deal with the difficult? Now, before you answer that question, let me insert a footnote. This is a ministerial footnote. It's the privilege of standing up here to put in a footnote. Those of you who teach, you like your students to do footnotes. Here's a footnote. Footnote one, there are some bad actors out there. There are some nasty people. There are addicted and hurting people and hating people and people whose politics fill them with irrational fear that has consequences that hurts children and the earth. And just as bad, as I mentioned last Sunday, there's bad religion out there, and some of it calls itself Christian. A few years ago, a man went into a church with a gun and did what he did because somehow he believed that hate was a family value and that killing religious progressives was the right thing to do. And then Charleston and Charlottesville. Well, liberal or conservative, progressive or regressive, a faith that needs to find other people to hate is not a faith that follows Jesus or brings anybody any closer to God. A faith that separates and condemns others and proclaims publicly that believers need to become bigots is not the faith of Jesus or Muhammad or Moses or the Buddha. No matter how loudly it can be proclaimed or sung, viciousness and violence, that's not difficult behavior. It's demonic behavior. And we need to stand up for the truth of that fact. We need strong laws. We need a justice system. We need good courts. That's a topic I'd love to discuss at another time. In footnote, how should we deal with difficult people? You and I can never deal with difficult people until we find a way to deal with the most difficult person we know best and who sometimes we treat as a total stranger. You know who that is? He's currently standing here looking at all of you. She or he is currently sitting out there looking at me, standing up here. Let me appeal, if I can, to three eminent authorities on the subject of difficult people. First of all, as an Ohio farm kid of Swiss descent, I cut my teeth on the wisdom of our Amish neighbors. Here's how they said it. Everybody is a little crazy except me and thee, and sometimes I wonder about thee. Second, anybody old enough to remember the poet, philosopher, cartoon character Pogo? We have met the enemy and they is us. And finally, if you don't trust the Amish and don't believe Pogo, just what do you suppose Jesus meant when he connected loving others with really learning to love and respect the person inside of our own skin? There are difficult people. There will always be difficult people. Dealing with difficult people begins when you and I learn to deal with ourselves and our emotions and our self-image and our understanding of the powerful reality that we are each the beautiful and wonder-filled creation of a loving and forgiving and nurturing God. If you want to deal with the difficult, begin within. To deal with difficult people, first of all, take a loving look inside your own heart. Chances are, if you're like me, you might not like what you see there all the time, but there's a very high probability that at least some of the problem you have with other folks is really a problem you're having with yourself. If I don't love me, I'm bound to have a heck of a time loving you. If I don't respect and take care of me, chances are pretty high I will disrespect you and find a way to deny the image of God in you. If I can't see Jesus in me, I will probably do little more than fake seeing Jesus in you. You begin dealing with difficult people by learning to love and respect yourself. And you know, there's a great danger that when we look inside, we might end up being too hard on ourselves. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. If you think you're perfect, I'm bound to be a failure in your eyes. And if I think I'm perfect, you'll never quite measure up either. And we're bound to find one another difficult or hopeless or chronically flawed. That's bad. That's bad. But on the other hand, if I look inside and see only what's wrong, that's what I will see in you. And if you look inside and just see the negative, that's what you'll see in me and in others. The great Jewish philosopher Philo said once that on this life journey, it is always best to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. So to deal with difficult people, look inside, be honest with yourself, make sure you know how much God loves you, and then you'll have the strength to be patient and kind to the person you find difficult. Try to understand and accept the pain that another person is experiencing, but at the same time realize that you can't help another person by allowing them to make you miserable or allowing another person to use you as an excuse for not taking responsibility for their own lives and their own actions. Now, some folks call that tough love, but I think it's true love, because the love of Jesus accepts and cares and forgives, but it does not enable bad behavior. No one can ever feel better by making another person feel worse. Lots of folks try, but it just doesn't work. One more thing. Did you ever wonder how God puts up with it? How in heaven's name God puts up with broken lives and a broken world and all the difficult folks running around? God is not revenge. God is not judge. God is not scorekeeper. God is not all sorts of things you and I might seem to be when we try to deal with difficult people or are difficult ourselves. God is love, and love keeps no score of wrongs. In our struggle with the difficult in others and in ourselves, God sees the gift each one of us is. God looks beyond the difficult to see the divine. Let's pray for that vision when we deal with the difficult. Amen.